Esther chapter 4. Actually, I'm going to read more than verse 11, but that's where we'll take our text, and I'm going to try to be mindful of the time as much as I can for your sake. The Bible said in Esther chapter 4, verse 7, we're going to kind of pick up into the story here a little bit. And if somebody can get me a bottle of water. Praise the Lord. So verse number 7, we're kind of picking up in the middle of the story. The Bible said, Mordecai told him of all that had happened unto him and of the sum of the money that Haman had promised to pay to the king's treasuries for the Jews to destroy them. Also, he gave him the copy of the writing of the decree that was given at Shushan to destroy them, to show it unto Esther, and to declare it unto her, and to charge her that she should go in unto the king to make supplication unto him, and to make request before him for her people. And Hatak came and told Esther the words of Mordecai. Again, Esther spake unto Hatak and gave him commandment unto Mordecai, and the king's, all the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces do know that whosoever, whether man or woman, shall come unto the king into the inner court who is not called, there is one law of his to put him to death, except such to whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter that he may live. But I have not been called, watch that right there, I have not been called to come in unto the king these 30 days. And they told to Mordecai Esther's words. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray now, Lord, we need your presence. And we need your power. Lord, you said in John chapter number 15, without me, ye can do nothing. Lord, we need you tonight. Lord, if I stand up here and I preach and I put energy and I put passion and I put what we've prepared into this message, and Lord, it's observed and it's listened to with eyes and with ears, and that's as far as it goes, then we've preached in vain and the message has been in vain. But Lord God, if thy spirit would drive it into hearts, if you would knead it into souls, God, if we would have ears to hear what the Spirit would say unto us tonight, and if we would purpose to go out of here being doers of the word and not hearers only, Lord, that'd be a wonderful thing, and you'd be glorified through that, and I pray you'd do that. We ask this in Jesus' name, amen. Well, last year at a Who Will Go conference, Brother Chris and I did, I think maybe over at Brother Red's or maybe back at Brother Kidd's, I can't remember. And by the way, I just want to say this real quick. I really appreciate Brother Hewitt. Amen. And I thank God how he's brought us together. Amen. For the remaining time that I'm in America. Amen. And I guess it's going to be Brother Patton all to him next year going everywhere. Amen. Because I'm going to Ghana and I don't want to come home from Ghana. All right. And but I'm very thankful. But last year as we were preaching, we preached the whole chapter, Esther chapter number 4, on the thought that I'm willing to die to make a difference. And even while I was preaching that message on where Esther came to that place where she was willing to die to save her race of people. Even as we preached that message, I read, and I was reading while I was preaching, that phrase jumped off the page at me, but I have not been called. And it jumped off the page so much that I said, I might preach on this tomorrow night again. Amen. But then God led me a different way. And this afternoon, I came back to that phrase. And I've looked at it many times, but I came back to that phrase this afternoon. And the Lord gave me a message that I want to bring to you here this evening. I think most of us know the context of this story tonight. We understand that a decree, listen closely to the wording here, because there's great typology here. There's great foreshadowing here. The king has sent a decree that all of Esther's race is to be killed. Amen. Her race is condemned. And the holy king of heaven has sent out a decree that the human race is to be destroyed because of sin. The wages of sin is death. And so we know that decree's come. And we know that her cousin, Mordecai, and I think even last year I was preaching that was her uncle. Amen. And then I got to reading again in the Bible said her uncle's son, eh, or uncle, daughter, whatever it was, amen. And it's her cousin, not her uncle. So I had that wrong. I think I probably learned it in a children's story somewhere and just stuck in my head. All right, but it's her cousin, and we know that her cousin Mordecai sent her a message that the decree had gone out and her race was condemned. And again, I preached on that last year. But I want you to notice that when she was called upon by her cousin, watch the wording, to go. That's what the Bible said. She was called upon by her cousin to go into the king to make requests, to make supplication to the king for her people, her response was, "But I have not yet been called. I have not been called to come into the king." Now watch this. Her people were condemned. Her position of comfort was being challenged, and her response was, "I have not been called." Now, I wished I could preach that message tonight. Amen. I really do. Because I would to God, amen, that the people of God's position would be challenged, amen, by the realization that our race that we share on this planet is condemned by Almighty God. The soul that sinneth shall die, amen. And I wish God's people could get challenged out of our lethargy and out of our lackadaisicalness, amen, and get serious about reaching the world with the gospel of the grace of God. And it was not until she realized her people were condemned and her position of comfort was challenged, it wasn't until then that her purpose in life was fulfilled. Amen. There was not a realization of her purpose until that realization came. Her purpose did not become clear until she realized that, man, I've been brought to the kingdom. This is why I'm in the king's palace. This is why I'm the queen. This is why God put me here. Listen to me tonight. In a world where the human race is under the condemnation of Almighty God because of their sin, and with the Holy Spirit calling on Christians to spread the gospel of the grace of God, and with a holy Bible commanding us to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, the response from the average independent Baptist church, and many times many folks in the church, even in leadership, is simply this: I have not been called. I've not been called. That's just the response that I hear. Now, I want you to listen real close to what I'm saying. I want you to listen. I know that, in fact, let me say it this way. I have a hard time believing that the same God who said, "Go ye," I have a hard time believing that the same God who died on the cross for the sins of the world, I have a hard time believing that the same God who said, "How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent?" I have a hard time believing that He's not calling and that He's not sending. I don't think the problem is on God's end. I believe God's calling. I believe with all my heart God's calling. And I'm going to talk about the call of God in just a minute because I still believe in the call of God. Amen. I believe in the call of God. I don't believe the problem is that God's not calling. I believe the problem is that we're not responding to the call of God. Amen. We're not responding. So I want to preach on this thought tonight. Are you sure you're not called? Are you sure? Esther, are you sure? I know that the king of Ahasuerus hasn't called you in, but there's a greater call. Are you sure you're not called to go in unto the king to make requests and to supplicate for your people? Are you sure? And I want to preach a message tonight on the call of God in relation to ministry and in relation to missions. And I believe, and you may disagree with this tonight, and if you do, talk to me afterwards, amen, and I'll be very respectful to you as long as you're respectful to me. And if not, I'll just send you to the pastor, all right? All right, but listen, and I'll let him deal with it, and I'll go to bed, amen. All right, but listen, I want to preach a message tonight on the call of God in relation to missions and ministry. And I believe the call of God is very misunderstood by both the pulpits and the pews of this generation, my generation. How else do you explain 48% of our world not having heard a clear presentation of the gospel one time? Something's missing in the equation. What we're doing, about 52%, we're about half on, amen, and half off when it comes to missions and reaching the world with the gospel. I mean, we really are. What we're doing is working well for half the world, but 48% of our world, I'm talking about people breathing the same air we're breathing. They're drinking the same water we're drinking, amen. They live on the same planet we share, amen. And they've never heard Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And I'm going to tell you, we'll never lay blame at the foot of the Son of God who gave His blood on Calvary for them. We've got to put the blame at the feet of God's people who won't take the Great Commission serious and say, "I'll go where God sends me, where God sends me, and stay as long as God wants me there." Amen. Amen. I want you to listen. I believe strongly. I don't want to be misunderstood tonight. I believe strongly, strongly, strongly in the call of God. I believe that. Amen. To preach the gospel. Paul called to be an apostle by the will of God. Amen. I believe in the call of God to be a church planter, to go plant a church. I believe in the call of God to be a missionary. But I want you to listen real closely. I believe in a general call for every child of God to reach the world. Amen. All just because you're not a missionary don't mean that you're exempt of the Great Commission. Amen. We all have a responsibility to be a witness everywhere we go of the grace of God. Amen. If you're saved, you're called generally to be a witness everywhere you go. Amen. And in that sense, you're either a missionary or you're a mission field. Amen. Amen. But I believe also that there's a specific call. I believe there's a special call for every child of God, or excuse me, not for every child of God, but for some of God's children. I believe God calls a man. I believe God calls him. I believe God's Spirit, I don't know how he does. I know not how the Spirit moves, convincing men of sin. I know not how the Spirit moves, calling men to preach, but I know he does. And I want to try to, and I have not attained on this subject, brother. Amen. I don't know all there is to know. And some of you could probably teach me a whole lot more over some coffee tonight. Amen. All right, I'm serious about that. If you've got the time, we got the coffee. Amen. All right, we'll have a good time tonight. Amen. But listen to me. Listen, I'm not saying I know everything about the call of God, but there's some things I know ain't the call of God. Amen. And there's some things right here that I want to try to preach to you tonight to help us understand, and especially younger folks, what is the call of God? Because I'm asking you, are you sure you're not called? Are you 100% sure? You say, well, I'm not 100% sure I am called. Are you 100% sure you're not called? Listen up. I want you to listen tonight. Amen. I want you to listen real close as we preach the Word of God tonight. Now, we believe it. I got to lay the foundation so nobody says, brother up and don't believe in the call of God. All right? So let me just lay you a foundation real quick, because I believe in the call of God. All right? But listen. Matthew 9:36, we're commanded to pray for the Lord to send. God has to send the laborer. Amen. Mama can't send the laborer. Amen. Daddy can't send the laborer. The preacher can't. God has to send the laborer. We've been commanded to pray the Lord of the harvest that he would send laborers. All right? And then the Bible says in Ephesians 4:11, and he, who's that? God, gave some apostles. Amen. Well, God didn't take everybody and make them apostles, but he took some and made them apostles and gave them to some others. Amen. Now, you can't have all leaders and no, all chiefs and no Indians. Amen. Now, so God gave some apostles. Amen. And God gave some evangelists. God gave some prophets. And God gave some pastors and teachers. Who did the giving? God did. If you're in the ministry, and by the way, I tell preachers, never act like you're God's gift to people. That's the man, because you'll reek of pride when you start doing that. Amen. But I tell the church to understand that preachers are God's gift to the church. Amen. 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 God gave. I believe in the call of God in that sense. Amen. The Bible says, and we quoted it in the question time, Acts 13:1, God said to a praying and a fasting and a ministering church, God said, separate unto me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have. It's kind of hard to deny the call of God when God said, I have called them. Amen. I have called, separate unto me Barnabas and Saul. He had already called them, but now he's telling the church to separate them so the church could send them for his honor and glory. Amen. Amen. And then you could read 1 Timothy 2:7. You can look at Ephesians 3:7. You can look at 2 Timothy 1:11. Write it down or go back and watch it later and write the verses down. They all give us very strong indicators that God calls men. Amen. God sends men. Amen. And we got to understand that. Having said that, because I think most of us understand those verses. I think most of us understand that call of God. I don't think most of the young people or the older folks in this church would just step up and say, well, God's called me to be the pastor of Greenfield or Victory Baptist Church in Greenfield. God's called this man to be the pastor. Amen. I think we understand there's a call of God. But I'm just as confident. I am every bit as confident that I am there's a call of God. I'm just as confident that God is calling men to the mission field, women, boys, and girls to the mission field. I'm convinced that God's calling. And people aren't responding. They're not responding. I'm telling you, we are not responding. We're not. So what I want to do is try to explain as simple as I can tonight. And I'm going to do a little teaching and a little preaching. I want you to walk out of here understanding maybe a little more than you walked in about the call of God. Because I want to ask you the question again. Are you sure that you haven't been called? Are you sure that God's not calling you to be a missionary somewhere? Are you sure that God's not calling you in the middle? Are you sure? Are you 100% for sure God's not calling you? Number one, I'll just give you 3 points, and for Brother Harvey, a poem. Amen? All right, amen. I'm picking on him. Amen? All right. But listen, God's specific call, listen to me, is always spoken through His Word. Always. Where there is a voice, there is a verse. Where there is a call, there is a command. You mark that down. And I believe as the Word of God is being preached tonight, I believe He's calling. There ain't never been a time I preached to sinners that I don't think God was calling some sinners to get saved. Amen. That's why I'm preaching to sinners. Amen. There ain't never a time I preached to carnal Christians I don't believe God was calling them to sanctification. Amen. 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 I believe God's calling them to sanctification. Amen. We've been called to sanctification. I don't want to preach on that. Amen. We've been called to that. Amen. And there ain't never been a time that I've preached to a crowd of people when I know there's a world that needs missionaries that I haven't believed God's calling. I just believe people aren't responding. You say, preach, you believe God's calling folks tonight? You better believe I believe God. Not only do I believe it because it's a missions conference. Not only do I believe it because mission is the marching orders of the church. But I believe it because God gave me this message for this church at this time tonight. Amen. I believe God's calling people. Amen. I do. Now, it's always spoken of through the Scriptures. We look at the call of God. Several years ago, Brother Harvey had me preach down there at Brother Frazier's. Amen. For the youth. And I preached out of Genesis chapter number 12, verses 1 through 3. I preached on get out. Amen. Because that's what God told Abram. Genesis chapter number 12, chapter 12, verse number 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, watch that. The Lord had said, the Lord is speaking. We're talking about a voice and we're talking about a verse. Amen. We're talking about a call. We're talking about a command. And the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out unto a land that I'll show thee. That's a call. That's a command. That's a voice. That's a verse. And Abram obeyed and went out. He didn't know where he's going. He just followed. Some of you, and I don't want to get, man, I don't mean to preach. I got to be careful here, all right? But some of you, the reason you won't answer to the call of God that's already there, because God won't give you the exact where, when, and who. And you're trying to put God on some little, well, if you'll show me the when and the where and the who, then I'll decide if I'm going to surrender or not. You've already decided you're not going to listen to His call. Amen. Most independent Baptists in America, they're not waiting on a call from God. They're waiting on some preacher to kick them in the backside. They're waiting. I'm telling you, it's the truth. They're waiting on some nebulous thing to come out of a cloud and slap them upside the head and say, you're called to preach. Amen. It's not going to happen. God doesn't call through emotions. Amen. God does not call through circumstances. God does not call through simply a burden. Amen. Where there is a voice, there is a verse, and God calls through Scripture. Now, you keep amen to me, but I want you to be careful when you're amen to me because we're about to close the trap here in just a minute. Amen. Now, I want you to listen. 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 Isaiah chapter number 6. There's Isaiah also. I heard what? The voice of the Lord God. Wow. Where there's a voice, there's a verse. What did he hear the voice of God saying? He said, whom shall I send? Who will go for me? Amen. I heard the voice. I'm trying to establish that when God's calling, He calls through His Word. Amen. Romans 1, verse number 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. And if you went to Acts chapter number 9, verse 15 and 16, God Himself told Ananias, He's a chosen vessel. Amen. I've already chosen him. We have the word of God on Paul's calling. Amen. No wonder he was so confident in Romans 1 and said, Paul, called to be an apostle by the will of God, separated unto the gospel of God. Amen. I want to tell you tonight, and I want you to listen closely. And I know that some of this stuff, you get into some areas that gets like, well, you have one preacher mad at you because he said you're preaching volunteerism. You have another preacher mad at you because you're preaching on a strong call of God. Amen. And I just figure I'm going to preach the Word of God. If the whole crowd gets mad, y'all get mad. Amen. But hopefully people respond to the call of God. Amen. Oh, listen, God isn't obligated and God never promised to speak to you through any means, through any emotions, through any feelings, through any burdens, and through any circumstances other than the Holy Ghost speaking through the Holy Scriptures. Amen. Amen. I'm telling you, I'm just telling you, man, us independent Baptists, we'll get up and say, well, God led me. If you ain't got a verse to show me that God led you, you better be careful on saying God led you. Amen. Well, God's called me. God, but guys running around, man, collecting support. Amen. I'm not preaching as missionaries. I'm for the missionaries. Amen. Been collecting support for 2, 3, 4 years. Amen. God called me to go to this place, and then apparently God changed His mind or something. Amen. Man, if God's given you a call, if God's given you a command, if there's been a voice, if there's a verse, amen, you better obey what God's calling you to do. Amen. Now, I want to say this. The scripture says, go you therefore and teach all nations. That's Matthew. God's already spoken on the matter. Amen. We already have a verse. We already have a voice. So here's what I'm asking. Are you sure you're not called? Mark chapter number 16, verse number 15. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. I'm not here saying that everyone's called to be a missionary. I'm just asking you as an individual, are you sure you're not called to be a missionary? In Acts chapter number 1 and verse number 8, the Bible said, but ye, that's a plurality, amen. And I know in the context, he's speaking to the apostles, but I mean, all scripture is good, amen. It's all, give them inspiration, it's profitable. I'm just saying, he said, ye shall be witnesses. All of us Baptist preachers pull that verse out when it comes to soul winning, amen. I'm just asking, would that verse happen to apply to anybody tonight, amen? Are you sure God hadn't called you? Because we've already got a verse, and we've already got a voice, and we've already got a call, and we've already got a command, amen. I mean, that is our marching orders. Amen. Now, you say, what about Esther? You read out of Esther. She didn't have a verse of scripture. She didn't have a word. She didn't have the word of God. Just think about what you just said. Amen. Or what I just said that you just said. Amen. What I suggested that you may have thought. Okay. Esther 4, 7, and 8. Go back and read it. And Mordecai told him of all that happened unto him, and of the sum of the money that Haman had promised to pay to the king's treasures for the Jews to destroy them. And also he gave him the copy of the writing of the decree that was given at Shushan to destroy them, to show it unto Esther, and to declare it unto her, and to charge her that she should go in unto the king to make supplication unto him, and to make request before him for her people. You say, well, Pastor, Brother Rutman, I still don't see a verse from the scripture there. We just read scripture. The Holy Ghost spoke through Mordecai to tell her what to do, and then he put it in his word. You just read the word of God, and she understood it was the word of God coming to her because she went and put on her life on the line. She wasn't just putting her life on the line because she's worried about the Jews, and she wasn't just putting her life on the line because of Mordecai. She realized God had brought her to the kingdom for such a time as this. Amen. She had the word of God. Amen. And that woman went in and did what her purpose was. By the way, I'll just say real quickly, Revelation wraps up in chapter number 22, verse number 17. The Bible said, I'm just asking you, are you sure you're not called? Because the Bible said in the Spirit and the bride, that's the church, amen? The Spirit, I want to say something there so bad, but I'm not going to right now, amen? I don't want to preach a whole other message, all right? But the Spirit and the bride say, come. Woo! If you're part of the church, it's part of your job, amen? But then read the next phrase, because it ain't, well, my church supports missionaries, and my church, we have people going on visitation. Read the next phrase, and the Spirit and the bride say, come, and the Bible said, and let him that heareth. We just went from the plurality of the church, amen, to the individuality of you, the individual, amen, him that heareth. God said, I want you to say, come. God may not call you to be a missionary to Africa. I hope he calls every one of you to be a missionary to Africa, amen. These other missionaries can deal with other places. I want Africa, amen, all right. God may never call you to go to Africa, but I tell you, if you're saved by the grace of God, you are called to go to your next door neighbor. You are called to go across the street. You are called to go to your city. You are called to go to your county. You're called to labor where you are for the glory of God. Amen. You're called in that sense. I'm asking, are you sure you're not called in a more special sense? Are you sure? Are you sure? Because we got a lot of voice here. We got a lot of verses. We got a lot of calling. We got a lot of commanding going on. I really believe that God's calling through the Holy Ghost. I believe that God's calling through the pages of Scripture. I just believe we ain't responding. I believe it. I dare you. I dare every person in this room tonight to say, come to an altar tonight at the end of the service. Come to the altar and say, oh God, I'm going to take the preacher up on his dare. Lord, if you tell me when and where, I'll go. If you tell me you want me to go, I won't even wait on the when and where. I'll submit. Lord, I'm committed. Lord, I'm making myself available to you. Lord God, if you want me to go, I dare you to take me up on that. Amen. You know what the average person says right there? I'd do that, but I'm afraid God might call me to fill in the blank. Africa. Amen. I'm telling you the truth. Amen. If I had a dime for every preacher, and I'm not picking on preachers, amen. I is a preacher, amen. But if I had a dime for every preacher told me, well, I went to Africa, if my wife would have been willing to go, I'm like, oh, who called you? Your wife or God? Amen. I'd be a rich man right now. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. I don't know, man. I'm trying to preach short, but this isn't getting longer. I was hoping to be done by now. Amen. Hey, listen. You said, well, I thought you was going to close the trap. Are you reading God's word every day? Because, friend, don't even tell me that you know whether you're called or not if you ain't even listening to his voice. Don't even walk in here and say, well, God's not called me yet. God's not called me over there. God's not called me there. When you don't even open his book where he calls people from. Amen. You know I'm telling you the truth. Amen. Man, I'm telling you, if we ain't faithful to three services a week or four or five or six, whatever our church has, amen, then we ain't hearing the word of God preached. Well, don't walk in here and say, well, I'm serious about the Great Commission, amen. Well, we can't even be faithful to church to hear the word of God preached where God calls people from. Hey, God calls people from the word of God. He doesn't call them through mission presentations, and I love mission presentations, amen. He doesn't call through a pretty little video and nice little pictures, amen. He doesn't call through emotions. God calls through the preaching of his word. God calls through reading the word. That's how he calls, amen. And if you're not reading it, then how do you know you hadn't been called by it, amen. 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 Get in the Word of God. Spend time in the Word of God. You talk to God in prayer and say, Lord, I'm willing to go. And let God talk back to you through the Word of God and tell you whether he wants you to go or whether he wants you to stay. Amen. But at least give God the benefit. Hey, you know what I do? I try to teach young people. And again, some of you may disagree with this, and that's fine with me, because I'll be your best friend. I can disagree on things. Amen. As long as it ain't big fundamental doctrines. All right. We're going to have problems there. All right. But I'm just telling you, I try to teach young people, you say yes until God says no. Because we've trained a whole generation of young people to say no until God says yes. That is the problem with how we're preaching the call of God today. We've trained a whole generation to say no until God says go. And I think they ought to have it built into them from babies on. You be willing to go until God says no. Amen. You say, that's volunteerism. I just told you I believe in the call of God. Amen. You think a God as big as God is can call missionaries to the field? You think he can't tell somebody, no, I don't want you going. Amen. He can do that. He's God. But why don't you at least give the one the benefit that came to this earth and came for you and came for your soul and shed his blood on Calvary for you and sold out to buy the field that we preached about on Sunday morning? Why don't you at least give him the benefit, amen, of saying, Lord, at least I'm willing to go, amen. You say, it's the missionary's responsibility. Maybe God wants you to be a missionary. You say, well, that's just, I haven't even thought about that. Maybe it's a good time to start thinking about it. You say, well, now, preacher, you're pressuring me. God speaks through his word. I'm just preaching it. Amen. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. Amen. I'm telling you that Bible's full of go ye. I could preach for the next 3 hours and take you. I promise you. You'd wear out before I wore out. Amen. I promise you. I could preach missions. I'm not trying to be proud and I'm not trying to be arrogant. I'm just telling you. I could preach missions from Genesis chapter number 1 all the way to Revelation chapter 22. Amen. This book is full of go. Go, 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 go. Seldom do you find, every now and then you find an example of someone going when God said don't. Amen. And boy, it's never good. Amen. To take upon you that calling that God didn't call you to do. Every now and then you find an example like that, amen. But more often than not, the example is God calls a Jonah to go to Nineveh, and he says, bless God, I'm going the other way, amen. I'm going down to Tarshish. Amen. Amen. Listen, God's specific call is always spoken through his word. God's specific call is only, and it might get tight here, and it don't bother me, this is what God called me to do, amen. We just had that preaching from Brother Stalkup, amen. On, you know, being bold, amen. So I listen. God's specific call, Brother Chris, could it be possible that we're not hearing the call because we're not in his presence, right? We're not hearing him call. We're not in his word. I mean, if you're out of earshot of him, you'll never hear him call you. Amen. Could it be? God's specific call is only spoken. We went from an always spoken to an only spoken. It's only spoken to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus. I wanted to answer this question earlier, but I said I can't. I'm preaching on this in just a little bit. The question was given, where's young people? Are young people, when you're out here going church to church, do they want to go? Are young people in general, are they set? Can I tell you that I go to churches, and when you're a missionary, you get in a lot of churches, amen. And not every church that I go to believes in sanctification the way I'm not saying the way the Bible believes in sanctification, or I believe in sanctification, amen. Because we, you know, I'm talking about the way the Bible preaches sanctification. I mean, we get in churches, and that's just not quite where the Bible is, amen. I'm just telling you. And I can't tell you, in many of those churches, Brother Patton, well, I'll preach a message like this, and there'll be kids flood down to the altar. and they want to go. And a pastor will get up and he's excited because his kids want to go. The problem is they want to take them from salvation to service, and there's no sanctification in the middle. There's got to be sanctification if God's going to call you. And I know there's a nice meme that runs around on Facebook that says God doesn't call the qualified. And I think I know what they really tried to mean by that. But every time I read it, man, it just messes me up. Amen. God doesn't call the qualified. God qualifies the call. And I understand that God saves and God sanctifies. But somewhere, you've got a responsibility to allow the Spirit of God to do the work of sanctification in your heart. I mean, the Bible said sanctify yourselves. Amen. There is some personal responsibility in this matter of getting sanctified. And I'm just telling you, listen, watch this real quickly. Back to Esther. Esther, I've not been called. And listen, I want you to watch this. Now, remember before Esther was a queen. You remember the whole story, what happened? Vashti and all that stuff. And she gets ousted. And now the king is looking for a queen. Man, if I'm not careful, I'll start preaching. And I don't want to preach right here. Amen. He's looking for a queen. And you know what? When you know the first thing that he's looking for? Had to be a pure young virgin. Amen. Hey, I want you to listen. Follow the progression because it's a type. It's a shadow. It's a foreshadow. Amen. Had to be a pure young virgin. Amen. And then, that's just a picture of someone getting saved. God can take a dirty old prostitute and put her in this chaste virgin called the church. Amen. And wipe that past away with his blood. Hallelujah. Amen. It's a picture of getting saved. But then that pure young virgin, when she come in, she had to be purified with the oil of myrrh for 6 months. Amen. Woo. You say, what's that talking about? Well, I'm talking about typically now, it's the oil represents the Spirit of God. Amen. I'm telling you, before she could ever come in the presence of the king, amen, to make any kind of request. She couldn't even be the queen, amen, much less coming to make a request. She had to be purified by oil, amen. And then she had to be purified by another 6 months of sweet-smelling odors. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, if we get young people in this church, and if we get old people in this church, and if we get middle-aged people in this church, if we had ever, I'm telling you, that are saved by the grace of God, if we had purify our hearts, if we had sanctify our hearts, if we allow the work of the Spirit of God to, I mean, pour His all over us, amen, and get us purified, I believe we could be a sweet-smelling savor. And guess, hey, man, you could read about it in Esther chapter 2. If I start reading it, I'll start preaching it, all right? But listen to what I'm trying to tell you. Guess which, they had all kinds of people that were in the running to be the queen. Guess which one got picked?
Amen.
The one that pleased the king. Amen. You say, what are you saying? What I'm trying to tell you, are you sure you haven't been called? Because God's looking for people who are saved and people who are allowing the process of sanctification to work in there. You think God's going to take an unclean vessel and send you over to a dirty third world nation, amen, and try to let you be an example of light? Some of the greatest problems we have on the mission field is already there, amen, with carnal missionaries and old man kind of missionaries, amen, living in sin. I mean, I'm talking about we go everything from the dress code, we go from the way they talk, from the way they carry themselves, I mean all the way down. I mean, can you imagine? I'm not trying to be ugly, but I'm going to tell you, let's just talk about Deuteronomy 22:5 just for a minute, amen. I mean, the Bible talks about dress code. You say, well, that's not a big deal to God. Well, I think it's a pretty big deal to God because he said, if you don't dress the way he said, it's an abomination, amen. Can you imagine sending Christian girls to Muslim countries? Well, I mean, I'm talking about Muslim countries, amen? And then dressing them in such a way as to where the Muslim wouldn't even listen to what they had to say because they look like a harlot and they look like a slut in their religion. And I'm not trying to be ugly and I'm not trying to be mean, amen? But I'm telling you, this happens on the mission field. People say, I'm called to go. Are they saved? More than likely, a lot of them are, amen? But I mean, they just go to the mission field and they do greater harm on the mission field than they do good for God. Well, I don't always quote Warren Wiersbe. I like Warren Wiersbe on some things, amen. But later on in his life, I'm telling you, he kind of got off on some things pretty good, amen. But listen, Warren Wiersbe said, I've lived long enough to see many works that were established in the flesh fail miserably.
Yeah. Right.
But then he said, I've lived longer. And I've seen many more works in the flesh succeed even more miserably.
Right.
God's not interested. Hey, let you say, give me Bible. You said God speaks to the Bible. I'm so glad you asked. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. Amen. God's not looking for disembodied souls and spirits to go to the mission field. He's looking for bodies. Amen. He said you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy. Boy, that word holy, that's a little word, but that's a big word. Amen. I mean holy. You say, are you one of those holiness preachers? I'm a Bible preacher. Amen. We have a Holy Ghost on the inside of us. He gave us the Holy Scriptures. That holy thing that was born of God is Jesus Christ. He's on the inside of me right now. Amen. We belong to the Holy Church, and we're commanded to be holy as He's holy, and to have all manner, I mean, to be holy in all manner of conversation. I believe in holiness. Amen. Present your body as living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. She couldn't come in until she couldn't please Him until she was purified. Notice that little pattern right there. You present, but when's it going to be accepted after you're holy? Present your body, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. You can do all the sacrificing you want. You can go like Mother Teresa, amen, not even be saved. You go like some backslidden Southern Baptist, amen. I don't even know if there's any front-slidden ones anymore, amen. But I mean, you go like one of them, amen. You can go out there and you can accomplish all kind of works, amen, and dress how you want and act like you want and talk like you want. You can have new, hey, I'm just going to hit it all tonight because I'm telling you, I'm just telling you, I believe God. Well, you got the new independent fundamental Baptist, amen, and that whole crowd and recovering fundamentalist, amen. What are they recovering from? I'm trying to tell you right now. Man, you got that whole crowd. I'm just telling you, man, God's not going to send folks. They may send them, but God ain't sending folks that aren't sanctified. You say, give me another verse. I never even got to verse 2 yet. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Watch this. We're talking about the call of God, right? Would you all agree the call of God to be the will of God? That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You can't prove what the will of God is. You can't know if God's called you. You can't know if God hadn't called you if you're not living a holy life. Amen. Yes. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also wood and earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. And if a man purge himself, that's what God said. That's conditional. That if is a condition. If a man purge himself, that's just not waiting on the Holy Spirit to do His work of sanctification. That is yielding to the Holy Spirit of God, who is trying to do His work of sanctification, because you already have everything that pertains to life and godliness on the inside of you. Amen. And once you yield, you're transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you have the ability to know whether He's calling you or not. Because it's only then you can prove what that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God is. Amen.
Amen.
Well, I tell you, I saw that screen and those little African kids, and I just want to go. And I can't even be faithful to church on Sunday night. I just want to go to the mission field. I want you to go to the mission field, but get faithful here first. And get holy here first. And get fruitful here first. Amen. And then by all means, man, when God calls, I said, when, not if, when God calls, go. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
You say, in the great house, not only a vessel of gold and silver, also wood and earth, some honor, some dishonor for man, therefore purge himself from these. Watch this. He shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet. That little word meet, that means fit for the master's use. I ask you a question. We had a good pork chop dinner in there tonight. Brother Stallcup, I'm glad. Well, I wished your mission field had been here. They would have changed it to chicken, but since they weren't, amen. We had pork chops tonight, amen. I smelled something. And I said, man, what is, I'm standing over there in the prophet's chamber. I said, something smells good. It's frying apples, cooking pork chops. And Brother Donnie, man, I was hungry. I had a little sandwich about 11:30, and it was a good sandwich Miss Chloe fed me, amen. It was good. But that was 11:30, and now it's 5:30. And I was hungry, and as hungry as I was, if I'd have walked in there and the dear preacher's wife would have come in and said, and Mrs. Fields would have come in and all those ladies come in and said, well, guys, here's the pork chops. Here's the, I guess, collard greens, whatever that green stuff was, amen. And all this other fried apples. I think there was some scalloped potatoes there. They had said we couldn't wash last night's dishes. So you got to eat on last night's dishes. Now, I'm just going to tell you something. I've just known this man, Brother Cromwell, for a little bit. And I like Brother Cromwell a whole lot. But I'm not eating my food tonight on the plate he ate last night if it wasn't washed. Amen. And I guarantee the feeling's mutual. Amen. In fact, I don't even want to eat on a plate that I ate on last night. Amen. I don't want today's pork chop and leftover yolk and grease from yesterday's eggs. Amen. We're sinners at best. And we want clean things in our service. How much more does the thrice holy God of heaven want something clean in His service? He said, be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. Amen. I'll tell you, you say, well, can you give me an example of that in Scripture? I am so glad you asked. Amen. Man, you're asking, you learned from Brother Stallcup. You're asking all kinds of questions. Amen. All right. I'm supposed to answer with a question. So how many of you remember Isaiah chapter number 6? Amen. Isaiah chapter 6. Vance Havner. Watch what Vance Havner said. This is a good quote. You see, Isaiah, didn't he come into the presence of God? Isn't that right? And what did he hear in the presence of God? Help me out. Holy, holy, holy. Amen. Isaiah never heard the voice of God calling, whom shall I send and who will go? Until he first heard, holy, 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 and purged himself. Amen. He said, woe is me. I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. Mine eyes have seen the Lord of hosts. I'm in trouble with God. Vance Havner said, we're trying to get young people to volunteer and say, here I am, before they've ever said, woe is me. I really believe that's a part of the problem. I believe God's calling. I believe God wants to call. I believe God's sending. I believe He wants to send. But we got folks sitting in our churches that never read their Bible. We got folks that walk out of church and they're unholy all week, walk in on Sunday morning, act like a Baptist Catholic, amen, and confess on Sunday morning, and then go out living in sin all week again, amen. And then a missionary comes through and they want to be a missionary, amen. I'm for you want to be a missionary, but you need to get your life cleaned up, friend, amen. 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 Are you sure God's not calling you? Are you sure? I've not been called. Are you sure you haven't been called? Or you're not listening for the call. You're not getting sanctified, getting ready if He'd want to call you. Amen. Number three. God's specific call always, always, always reveals and defines His purpose for your life. When God calls, He's calling you on purpose with His purpose for your life. That's what He's doing. You are a person. You say, I know that. I know you know that, but I'm just going to say it again. You are a person. You are being prepared from the moment you got saved for God's purpose in your creation and in your redemption. You're being prepared. And you have a purpose. And the will of God for your life is the calling of God for you. And so we prove that will of God, that calling of God, through our sanctification to God from sin and our consecration to Him. Have you discovered your purpose? When Esther said, I've not been called, she had not been called by the earthly king into His presence, and we mentioned that. But Mordecai challenged her excuse for not, what's the word, going. He challenged her excuse, and I'm challenging many of yours tonight. Amen. I'm challenging it. Amen. I'm trying to shake it up a little bit. Say, well, if you can shake somebody up, I'm not trying to get you to go because I called you, amen. But I'm trying to shake you at the foundation a little bit and say, have I really been called or not, amen? I need to know. Why do we have the burden of proof on that? We always ask the missionary, well, give me your testimony how you got saved, amen. Give me your testimony how you got called, amen. Why do we start asking people, I want your testimony on how you didn't get called, amen. How do you know that you're supposed to sit in a church pew the rest of your life and never go to a mission field? And let me just hasten to say that God doesn't call everybody. I'm telling you, He doesn't. Amen. Some of you will stay, you can't go. Others will go because you can't stay. I'm just saying, if I was to come up to you tonight and say, how do you know? Can you prove to me that you are in the perfect will of God where you are, in the place you live, with the people you're serving right now? Could you explain that to me? Could you explain it? You say, well, I can't explain. Well, I come down to the altar, amen, and ask God to make it clear to you one way or the other, amen. I dare you. I dare you. I really do. I dare you to come down here and get serious with God about this, amen. Amen. Watch what He says. He said, who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such time as this? It's like there's a moment, Brother Donnie, like a moment of truth that comes on Mordecai right there. I mean, she was a person. She was being purified. She was being prepared to come into the presence of the king. But why me? Why does this little Jewish girl get called? I mean, she just comes out of nowhere. And the next thing you know, she's the queen. What's that all about? Well, you say, well, that's a series of coincidental circumstances that she ended up as the queen. Well, you could say that if you didn't believe in providence. But providence is pretty clear. And that's kind of what Mordecai is saying. Who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom such time as this? Who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Why did God save you? Why is God sanctifying you? Why did God bring you in? Why did God put you? Why are you here tonight? Why? How is it that you're in this service tonight? Some of you I've never seen. I don't think I've ever seen you before. Amen. How did we end up here on the same night? You say, well, are you saying we're called? I'm not saying you're called, but I'm not saying you're not either.
Yeah, come on.
Amen. 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 I'm talking about providence. Amen. I'm talking about the providence of God. I want you to watch this. God's providence always provides a man for the moment. Always. Always. And we were created at this point in history for such time as this. I don't know your exact purpose. I don't. I don't know God's call on your life. I don't. I don't know the will of God. Nobody else knows the will of God for your life either. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Except you and God. Unless God clearly makes something, I mean, like you can't do this, and it's in His Word, then we can say that's not the will of God, all right? But I'm saying, your purpose involves a people and a place somewhere. And whether that's Greenfield, Indiana, whether it's Indianapolis, whether it's New York City, whether it's Russia, whether it's everywhere for Brother Hewitt, amen, and everywhere for our brother that's going to Zambia, amen, at this time, whether it's Ghana and West Africa, for me, your purpose, you've been brought here for such a time as this, amen, amen. Think about history just a little bit. What's World War II without Winston Churchill? And that's not even spiritual. That's just a secular example. What's you think God put him in that place for that time? Imagine if he is, as history tells us, at one point he almost didn't accept the position. Imagine if he wouldn't have. Where would the world be today? How would that have changed the history of the world? Can you imagine 1776 without George Washington? What if he said, man, I'm just not going to do it. I'm just not going to lead the revolution. I'm just not going to do it. God placed him there. Can you imagine on the spiritual side of things, can you imagine the country of India without Amy Carmichael? China without Hudson Taylor? America without Billy Sunday and T.L. Moody and Oliver Green and Lester Roloff? I mean, those men and those women were brought into history for that time with a purpose. And you are no less significant than them. You are a creation from God. And God brought you here to this world. And God has redeemed you in this world. Because God Almighty has a specific purpose for your life. God's will, God's call, always reveals and then will define the parameters of what He's revealed to you for your life. He'll do that. He'll do that. He'll do that. Man, I'm telling you. Read it later. Isaiah 49, verse 1 and 5. Isaiah talked about that. Jeremiah, chapter number 1, verse 5. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee to be a prophet in the womb. Amen. What about that? There's a person. God had to prepare him in the womb and out of the womb. But when the right time come, God said, this is your purpose. Jesus said, to this end was I born. Hey, young person, do you even know why you were born? Jesus at the age of 12 said, wish not, it must be about my Father's business. Do you even know what your Father's business is? I said it the other day. I'll say it again. We got 30-year-olds that ain't figured out what the Father's business is. Hey, I'm telling you, I've never seen such an immature generation of young men in my whole life. And, man, you look back, it couldn't have been this bad in the past. I mean, I talk to men in churches all the time. I'm like, what's God's will for your life? I don't know. Well, are you praying about it? No. Well, how old are you? 27. God created you for a purpose. Remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth. Amen. Man, you're not a divine accident. You're not a, well, mom and dad, I wasn't planned. Amen. I'm a accidental coincidence. No, you're not. You are here by purpose from Almighty God with a purpose for your life. You can pick your purpose or you can let God pick it. Amen. I'm Brother Chris, man, it's late and I'm tired and I'm hungry and I want to drink coffee, but I tell you, I can tell you with all confidence, I know I've been called. Amen.
Amen.
I know the people and I know the place. Amen. And I hope God lets me stay there the rest of my life. Amen. I hope I'm there till the rapture takes place. Amen. I know what I've been called to do, where I've been called to go, who I've been called to reach. Do you? Are you sure? Your people are condemned. You're in a position of comfort. What are you going to do about it? Well, the king hasn't called for me yet, and I've not yet been called. And if I go in there, I could die. And if you don't go in there, your people will die. And think not, it's not going to come to you, because it's going to come to you too. Little prince girl, princess girl, it's going to come to you too. Amen. You better start thinking about it. Amen. She said, give me time, fast and pray. And then I'll go in. If I perish, I perish. Amen. She didn't hear the call, but at the end she heard the call. And for a woman who didn't hear the call, she changed the history of a nation. Some of you ain't heard the call because you're not listening. Amen. Some of you ain't heard the call because you're not willing to pay the price to be holy and usable by God. Some of you haven't heard the call because you are afraid of, if you get serious about the will of God, what He will reveal to you and what those parameters will be. And you're no more serious about the will of God than I'm serious about going to the Arctic Ocean. Amen. Why don't you get serious? Why don't you just get serious? Hey, why don't you at least do God? I'm not trying to get a bunch of people down to the altar and say the altars are full. I'm serious as a heart attack. I'm sincere as I can be with you. Why don't you at least give the one that died for you on Calvary? Why don't you at least give Him the benefit of saying, Lord, at least I'll go to the altar and ask You if You want me to go. Ask You what You want me to do. I'm going to start having a yes mentality. And if you say no, I won't go. Instead of the no mentality that makes you say yes before I say, well, I'm going to go. Let's pray. Lord God, I'm begging You tonight. Lord, You gave me this message this afternoon for this church at this time. I'm begging You. Lord, we saw a young man come on Sunday morning, and he has that attitude, that willingness, that he wants to obey the call of God. And I pray, Lord, as he moves forward, he's got a lot of preparation in order to be used on the mission field. But Lord, You can do it. You did it with me. You did it with so many others here, and You'll do it with him. I'm confident of that. But Lord, that's just one out of many. And Lord God, I know that You'll not call every person in here to be a preacher. You'll not call everybody in here to be a missionary to Timbuktu or to Brazil or to Mexico or to where. I understand that. But Lord God, I pray that, Lord, as a result of this message, within the next week or two or month or two, we'd all get nailed down whether we're in the will of God or not. And if we're not, Lord, and if You want to send us, that we'd be willing to go, that we'd answer the call of God, that we'd be listening. God, Lord, as Mordecai challenged her, I have tried to challenge this church tonight and these churches that are represented in this matter. God, I beg of You to call laborers out of this church service tonight. I beg of You. I plead with You, God. You said the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And I'm righteous. And I'm, Lord, trying to pray effectually and fervently. I'm praying. And I know others are praying that You would call and that You would send. God, I pray You'd give us an attitude, so much praying that You would call and send, that we'd just come down and pray, God, if it's me You want to call, and if it's me You want to send, Lord, I'll go. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Heads bowed, eyes closed, people in the altar already, the guitar's playing. If God's dealt with your heart, why don't you come down here? Why don't you prove the will of God? You say, I already know the will of God. Well, then why don't you come down here and pray for others to figure out the will of God? Why don't you at least come down here and pray that God would call and send some laborers? Why don't we have a bunch of churches just get together on an altar, and even if everybody here says, well, I know I'm not called. I know I'm not called. Why don't you just come down here and say, well, God, I got to settle for myself. God, I pray that You would send laborers. God, I pray that You would send laborers. God, I pray that You would send laborers. William Carey said the only way to know the will of God is to pray over an open map and an open Bible. I think there's a lot of truth in that. If I was you, I'd get off the altar tonight, and I'd go back to my home, and I'd go get me a map, and I'd start praying every day over that map and with an open Bible, amen, and praying, oh God, talk to me. God, show me where. And if the Holy Ghost of God puts his finger on Greenfield, Indiana, and says, you're a member of this church, and I want you here till Jesus comes, then you be the best, most faithful going and giver. You increase your faith promise missions. You send others to go. You be as faithful as you can for the Lord Jesus Christ here. But if God, peradventure, puts his finger on some other place on that map and says, I want you to go, I want you to go, I want you to go, then by all means, say, here am I, Lord. I'll go. Of you. Lord, I plead with you. God, you said, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things. We're praying tonight that you would call, that you would send.